I just want to bring support and let people be more aware of that the war is still happening and the Russians are still invading, and just to bring more awareness and let people know in our community that, yeah, it's still going on.
This is CICK News. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Dan Messick. Each week, we provide an update about events and issues developing right across Northwest BC. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. CICK Smithers Community Radio is on the dial at 93.9 FM, or you can listen online at smithersradio.com, and we are broadcasting from the unceded Gitindam Territory, home of the Wet'suwet'en Nation.
Yesterday, August 24th, was the six-month mark of the date that Russia declared war on the Ukraine. It also happened to be Ukrainian Independence Day, to mark 31 years since the Ukraine's independence from the Soviet Union. A bleak reality of the numbers that this war has racked up was published yesterday in the New York Times, which includes 5,587 Ukrainians are confirmed dead, but the true number is believed to be in the tens of thousands. The number of refugees has surpassed 6.6 million. Military losses have been heavy on both sides, with about 9,000 Ukrainians and as many as 25,000 Russians have said to be killed. Ukraine has lost 20% of its territory to Russian forces and their proxies in recent years. The destruction has already cost Ukraine at least $13.5 billion, and it may need more than $200 billion to rebuild. The harsh reality of these tolls and these numbers is that they will continue to grow, as it's suspected that this fight will continue for another 6 months. Last week, we aired an interview I did with Scott Clydesdale, the local man who is running a local campaign to raise money for supplies for Ukrainian soldiers, civilians, hospitals, and everyone in between. His fundraiser is called Trail Time for Ukraine, and that campaign is open until September 30th. If you want to donate to that fundraiser and get involved, you can make a donation at the BV Credit Union in Smithers to the account number 1717-8228, or make an e-transfer to Ukraine Medical Aid at citywest.ca. That money that Scott is asking Telqua and Smithers hikers and bikers to pledge helps purchase medical and trauma supplies. And that's not a broad stroke estimate. The money raised will be used to purchase those supplies from a veteran-owned business called Battle Rattle Tactical Supplies. An Edmonton man named Dave Bryanton just returned from his seventh trip to the Ukraine to deliver hockey bags of hope. Today, I'm speaking about three facets of this war. First is the logistics of how money raised locally truly makes a difference on the front lines of this war. The second is what work is being done in the Bulkley Valley to help displaced families and individuals. And third is the human connection, the pull that people feel to help and why they do it. Let's start with my conversation with Luba Kazim, a Russian-born Ukrainian who has lived in Canada for 19 years. She is motivated to help the people of Ukraine because she can't help but help. I spoke to Luba at the Ukrainian Awareness Rally in Smithers on August 24th, Ukrainian Independence Day, where she and a handful of people waved the Ukrainian flag for cars passing by.
My name is Luba Kazim. I live in Smithers, BC.
Great. And can you tell our listeners where we are and what we're doing here today?
So right now we are at the Goat Park in Smithers, right across from the museum and art gallery, and we are planning to have a rally for Ukraine in support of Ukraine and Ukrainian people, because it's an Independence Day in Ukraine today. And so hopefully people will come and join us. Yeah.
And how does that make you feel with it being Independence Day and just knowing just all the suffering that's happening in Ukraine right now?
Well, yeah, exactly. That's what Ukraine is fighting for right now, is to stay independent and keep its freedom and independence from any other countries, right? To have what we have here in Canada, actually.
Yeah.
So can you tell me about some of the fundraising efforts that you've done? I know that you are also involved, or you have a Facebook page too, for some fundraising efforts here. So can you tell me a little bit about when you do fundraise, and then also what you're fundraising for specifically?
So we do have a Facebook page, and we have a group, sort of just a bunch of volunteers. We it's called Smithers BC Helps Ukraine. So anybody can join and message us or whatever. So we've actually come together since the beginning of the war, since the war started, and decided that we do need to do something. We could not just sit and do nothing. So part of our efforts was directed towards getting fundraising done for Ukraine and for people in Ukraine specifically, especially those who could not get out, who were helpless, who could not get any help from anywhere else. And the other part of our efforts is going to the refugees here and helping them settle in the Balkla Valley. So with the fundraising for Ukraine and sending money to Ukraine, we've helped so far a few orphanages, one regular orphanage and one with special kids with special needs. We helped seniors, we helped a volunteer organization on the ground that was helping people just with their medical needs, their and anything they could do, and also or needed. And also we were helping right now, there is even in spite of the war, people are trying to restore their homes, to they need places to live, so there are volunteers who are helping people to rebuild or do something with their place so that there will be more or less livable conditions and people can return home. So we were helping them as well.
Yeah, and that seems like kind of a major sort of one of the pillars of the fundraising that you're doing is helping displaced people. And so you personally have also been helping refugees in Smithers here, or I guess in the Balkla Valley. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
So we were helping people to get here, and it's not just me, there are other people here in the Balkla Valley who did a lot. And some of them are going to come to our rally today, and they were looking for people, actively looking for those who want to come to Balkla Valley and help them. Some people helped with the tickets, with airfare. Some people helped with hosting, housing. We also started collecting donations for clothing and furniture and household goods. There were a lot of people who helped with food, like for the first time when people got here, they needed food and everything. So there were a lot of helping hands. It's just actually amazing to live in this community and get that much help when you really need it. That's been a pleasure to work with these people.
Yeah.
Hi, Sarah.
If anything, it's nice that there is that humanitarian effort and that there is such a strong community here.
Absolutely.
especially you know, when you just feel like stories and numbers, tallies coming out from Ukraine and the border, that it can seem pretty dire. So doing these fundraising efforts too is, you know, I wonder what compels you to want to help so much, you personally, what compels you?
I do have ties with Ukraine. I am from Ukraine. I'm actually Russian by nationality, but I lived in Ukraine all my life and have great ties with people in Ukraine. I've been always treated very well, and my heart is there, and my friends are there, even though I don't have any family left. I just think that it's such an unfair thing that happened, and to all of us, really, to the whole world. And Ukraine is really out front there, fighting for the freedom and the whole world, really. So I thought that we needed to do something, and personally as well. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Can you let people know, because I'm sure once people hear your story and hear what you're doing here in town too, that they are going to be very compelled to help. So can you tell us about maybe any upcoming fundraisers or efforts that people can do to help as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So actually this weekend there is a Balkla Valley Fall Fair happening at the fairgrounds, and we invite everyone to come and you know, help us fundraise for Ukraine. We'll be selling food all 4 days. Oh. So yeah, we are quite noticeable. You can find Ukrainian flag and everything, and yeah, we'll be selling different food and hopefully tasty enough for people to come and buy, because we've been slaving. Volunteers have been cooking for a storm. So yeah, please come and help. Yeah. And support us.
Great. Luba, is there any last words that you want people to know about, anyone who's listening? I mean, this airs kind of locally, but across the north, across northern BC as well. Is there anything else that you think that people should know?
I just think that it is very important nowadays to remember about this, to remember that the war is still ongoing, even though there is less and less in the news of what's happening. There are people who are still dying there. There are people who are still misplaced. There are people who are still, you know, in distress and living it every single day for us, really. So just remembering this and honoring this, and at least maybe helping once in a while, that would be awesome. That would hopefully end it soon. That's what we all hope for.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Sure. My name is David Bryanson, in Edmonton, Alberta. I've been traveling over to Ukraine to deliver humanitarian aid, both medical and military. And at the beginning of the war, it was even just a little bit of food and stuff like that. But the nature of the conflict has definitely changed since the beginning of the war.
And I definitely want to speak to you about the nature of change and the nature of the war as well. But I want to know, how did you decide to start? Because you've made 6 trips now to the Ukraine with hockey bags full of medical supplies. How did you start to decide doing this?
So this is actually my 7th trip. And then the store and our organization has kind of been involved in a couple more trips above and beyond that, helping others out, doing the exact same type of thing as what we're doing. We're not really an organization. Actually, I am part of a retail store, Battle Rattle Tactical Supply, and I work at a store here. I'm one of the partners in the store here. I'm their accountant. The other individuals that are part of the store are active military guys, and so they are not, they're under orders not to go to Eastern Europe, not to engage in Ukraine or Poland and whatnot. But myself as a civilian, I am allowed to do as I like and whatnot. And so I have gone ahead and participated.
And was that kind of how the decision was made, that it would be you, or did you kind of always want it to be you to be making these trips personally?
You know, I get asked by Ukrainians a lot, why are you doing this and whatnot? And I do happen to be half Ukrainian, but my family came over to Canada in 1892, which, you know, was a long, long time ago. We don't speak Ukrainian anymore. We don't have any contact with anybody over there and whatnot. It was just, it's simply from a desire, from our business, from a personal point of view, to aid where we can. It started with some Ukrainians coming in right after the initiation of the new hostilities, because, you know, the war actually began in 2014 when Russia took Crimea, mm-hmm. and it's been simmering ever since then. And then it was February 24th that, you know, the open hostilities between the two countries, you know, full-fledged went ahead. But most Ukrainians actually consider the beginning of the war actually in 2014. But on February 24th, we did have some Ukrainian nationals come into the store and start buying stuff, wanting to send it over. You know, all males were forbidden to leave the country. They were enlisted in the militia, and that militia was not prepared whatsoever, and so there was many people that were doing that. And, you know, in talking to them at the store, it was just like, well, how are you going to get stuff over there? And, you know, by post it was going to take, you know, 3 weeks, 6 weeks, an indeterminate amount of time. You know, UPS stopped delivering there, Amazon stopped delivering there, and whatnot. And so in talking to some of the Ukrainian nationals, it was like, well, why don't we just simply get on a plane, you know, fly over to Poland, drive it to the Ukrainian border, and, you know, and get it into the hands of Ukrainians with a desire to help. And that's what actually initiated the very first trip, which I did not participate in. We actually sent somebody over, or helped send somebody over, and whatnot. And it was in subsequent trips after that that I actually participated myself. Eh?
So then, I mean, it's kind of funny because you speak about this like it's just like, so I simply got on a plane. But I know a lot of people, myself included, who would be terrified of making that choice. And I want to know, what are the logistics of how this works from fundraising, you know, from fundraising money and then by the end handing hockey bags of, you know, trauma supplies to a Ukrainian soldier? What's that actual process look like?
Well, to Ukrainian soldiers, to Ukrainian hospitals, to military hospitals. One of my pride points this trip was actually I got to meet an injured warrior that I had been supplying material to and whatnot. And he's actually in Lviv now. He goes to the hospital every day, but he's in an apartment and then, you know, makes his daily trip and whatnot to the hospital. But, you know, the logistics are huge. Initially when we started, I actually landed in the airport in Krakow, Poland, and, you know, Ukrainians met me there, picked up the product, and they delivered it. You know, then the next time, you know, I actually landed in Krakow, and I got to the Ukrainian border, and I delivered it there. Then the next time I actually drove to the Ukrainian border, met the Ukrainians myself instead of just Polish people, and each time I'm kind of taking an extra step, right? Mm-hmm. So then the next time I actually entered Ukraine, crossed the border, which is a difficult task in itself, and whatnot, and kind of kept going and going and going to, you know, now at this point, my network in Ukraine is actually, you know, very reasonable. And, you know, when we deliver military supplies, we make sure that those military supplies get into the hands, of the military guys, you know, that it's intended to get to. When we deliver medical supplies, we make sure that it gets to the hospitals that it's intended to. Unfortunately, in, you know, Eastern Europe and the rest of the world, you know, there is a level of corruption and stuff. And the further that I can kind of follow the goods all the way along to its final destination, the better and whatnot. But, you know, like, again, often I've been asked, you know, are you scared? And, you know, if you're going into a war zone and you're not giving due consideration, and if you don't have a little bit of concern or fear going into that situation, then I think you're a little bit silly and whatnot. So, but I really do my due diligence in all my logistics, in, you know, who I'm dealing with, how I'm dealing with. You know, simply even one time we got stopped by a roadblock, if this is towards the beginning, and that roadblock wasn't exactly what I would call official, where, you know, some guys kind of wanted some money for us to pass. And, you know, like, we didn't do it because the Ukrainian guys that were with me were much more convincing than the guys doing the roadblock. I don't really want to elaborate too much, but yeah, it was, you have to be careful with what you do. You know, I was at one of the military bases, leaving at 4 a.m. and at 5 a.m, like, you know, you hear these air raid sirens go off, and at 5 a.m, you know, 4 missiles actually struck that base. And I was simply like an hour away, from being on that base.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, again, there is a degree of risk, but, you know, I also feel that there's a degree of risk, you know, traveling between Edmonton and Calgary on the QE2, or, you know, traveling trans-Canada. We all accept a certain amount of risk, and I feel that it's, especially for the good that I have seen done with the aid that we have delivered, is well worth the risk.
Yeah, that's a nice lead-in into my next question as well, which is, what are you learning about this war and the people involved and the human experience from your trips to Ukraine?
You know, the human experience is absolutely fantastic. I kind of equate the whole situation, if you want to kind of break it down into Canada, there's kind of BC, Alberta, and Saskatchewan. And in the east, in Saskatchewan, that's where the Donbass is, that's where Luhansk is. And the fighting there is absolutely horrible. I escorted a refugee out from, you know, from that area. His wife had died in their house. Their house was blown up. He was in the basement. He got pulled out, and yada yada. Like in the east, it's just horrible. In the middle, which is kind of that Kiev area, so I would equate that to Alberta. In the middle in Alberta, that's where Kiev is. Maybe Odessa in the south. There has been fighting. There definitely is damage and stuff like that. But life is going on, and they are very focused on, you know, providing support to the east and whatnot. And then there's the west, which would be like kind of like BC. And in the west, which is Lviv and Yavrov and some of the, you know, areas that are close to Poland, you know, there isn't very much substantial damage there. You know, life does go on as normal. People do have their regular jobs and whatnot. But without a doubt, from east to west to, you know, north to south, Ukraine as a nation right now is focused on beating Russia to get the occupiers out of their country, to stand united, to even get back Crimea. You know, there is a, you know, the amazing will of the Ukrainian people, and I have seen it, and I truly, it's amazing. It truly is.
And with that firsthand perspective that you have, is your point of view and what you're seeing something that you think is being reflected in the media coverage of the war on Ukraine, or do you think there's much accuracy in the reporting?
You know, there's accuracy. Like, there's a little bit of propaganda on all sides of the fence, and you know, maybe that's a little bit too strong a word, but there's perspective and whatnot. So there's the Ukrainian perspective, the Russian perspective, the Canadian perspective, and whatnot. I don't know as if there's, you know, direct, you know, manipulation, but, you know, there are, you know, when you talk to some of the Ukrainians, they are absolutely passionate. And, you know, I equate it to kind of the Israel-Palestine conflict where, you know, these two groups are actually, you know, building hatred, you know, between one another. And, you know, when your parents die, when your home is destroyed, when, you know, the captured people are being, you know, tortured and murdered, you know, you do develop that hate. And, you know, me as a Canadian, I'm not used to that. I'm not used to hating. You know, there is maybe one man in Russia that I would not shed a tear for if he left this world. But, you know, other than that, like, you know, I do feel sorry for the Russian soldier. I do feel sorry for, you know, all of the Ukrainian families that are all having to deal with this and whatnot. And unfortunately, this war is being propagated by men in power.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, we're speaking on August 24th. This will air at a later date, so we're at the 6 month mark of the most recent and the day that Russia declared war on Ukraine in 2022. And reports state that there's likely to be another 6 months of this war. I wonder, do you plan to continue to make trips as, you know, things become a little more desperate and, you know, people become more desperate as well as, you know, Russian military tactics, you know, might become a little stronger to intervene with supplies to Ukrainians. Is your plan just to keep on going while this war lasts?
Once you meet, you know, a number of the people over there, once you meet some of the fighters, once you're supporting some of these different groups, I don't know how I can stop. Mm. I actually tend to get a little bit emotional when I think of those individual people who must continue. You know, at the beginning of the war, Canada, you know, the people, the media, the nation, you know, was focused on supporting them. But there is a level of war weariness. You know, this news article isn't making, you know, the front page now. It's making, you know, a little bit, you know, further down the news list and stuff like that. But the need is no less imperative. You know, the support that we give, honestly, Canadians, you know, the monetary, the physical, the military, you know, I have nurses that, you know, will toss us expired products from, you know, from stuff. But, you know, that expired product, you know, can be so well used in the field in Ukraine. You know, anything from bandaging to syringes to gauze to hemostatic to tourniquets to you know, there is so much that can potentially save a life. I was in the hospital, and like, they're really looking for leg braces right now. So if a soldier comes in and he needs a leg brace, if they don't have a leg brace available, then they have to look at amputation, because they can't set a multiple fracture leg without having that. And so they're having to, you know, continue to triage. So like, when I came back this trip, you know, I'm now on a mission to get some of those leg braces, you know, because the difference in a young man or woman, you know, having a limb or losing a limb, that's huge, mm-hmm. right? You know, that's absolutely huge. I don't care whether I take one leg brace over there, or I take 20, or I take, you know, 100, right? Like, this war is involving thousands and thousands of men, women. Kids are getting hurt. Elderly are getting hurt. You know, it's horrible. And whatever we can do here in Canada, whatever we can continue to help the people, the army of Ukraine, against, you know, what has been, by, you know, several countries out there, by Canada, acknowledging that this is a genocidal war against the people. We should do this, right? We should stand up. The reason that I do what I do is because I think I should stand up against evil men. Right? Good men and women need to stand up against evil.
And you know, it's, especially when you hear this, and I'm speaking to you as someone who just is doing the work, you know, not a second thought. Obviously you have fears and concerns, but you're going. So how can people help you? How can people help you purchase the supplies that you need? What is the most kind of tangible help that you need that people can do?
Well, to be honest, I do have a large organization here in Edmonton. Locally in Smithers, there's a gentleman there who is, you know, I'm not involved in his fundraising, but I know he's, you know, making effort in, you know, in BC to raise money, to do events, to do stuff. I myself am not a charity. And honestly, even at the beginning of the war, I had people offering me what I call large sums of money. And I really hesitated to take that. And I referred them to kind of more, some of the bigger charities. So although, you know, I appreciate your effort to get me help and whatnot, I would encourage people to go out there and seek, you know, some of the, you know, some of the charities that are registered, that are, you know, that, you know, are doing good. I have people that come back to me every time because I try and give them some of the results of my efforts. And, you know, like I can show them, but I'm not collecting money. I'm not doing that. You know, if you want to look at Battle Rattles Tactical's your website, you know, you can purchase stuff there and, you know, have it donated to Ukraine. But I'm not looking for people to do that.
Yeah. Is there anything, Dave, that I didn't ask or ask about that you think is important for people to know?
You know, like, again, one of the things that, you know, has happened is the nature of the conflict has changed. You know, what we took at the beginning of the war and what we're taking now, and, you know, is definitely changing. You know, if you are going to contribute to someone in the know, you know, there's a lot of stuff that now could be purchased in Europe and whatnot. And, you know, as opposed to us flying it over, we can actually take those funds and we can either have someone purchase it in Poland and take it over. We're coming up to winter. You know, winter, they're going to need warm weather clothing. The unit that we support is the unit in Yavrov, which is south of Lviv by about 1 hour. And, you know, they have 5,000 guys, and those 5,000 guys are in the field. But there's also 25,000 militia that are under that unit and whatnot. So there's just massive need. You know, the nature of the conflict is changing. Try and find somebody in the know, and, you know, above and beyond all else, you know, if Canada can help. You know, this last time I took 46 bags of aid with me. But you know what was in those bags? There was military, there was medical, actually mostly medical, for the hospitals, for the military hospitals and whatnot. But you know what is in there when they open those bags? Is they open those bags and they see hope. They see hope that Canada, that the U.S., that France, that the rest of the free world is with them in standing up against Russia. And morale is everything. And, you know, I've had a number of heartfelt hugs. And it's hard. It's hard when you do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this experience is something that, you know, you're obviously going to have the rest of your life as well, of just these interactions. Oh, for sure. Yeah.
You know, again, a phrase that I've, you know, people ask, why I do what I do? And it is personal expense. You know, our company, Battle Rattle, does actually contribute to the flights and stuff like that, but there is some personal expense on my side each and every time. But, you know, I tell people I choose to collect memories, not things. Mm. There's nothing that I'm going to collect from, you know, from doing it, but I'll tell you the memories are going to last a lifetime.
Yeah. Well, Dave, thank you so much for speaking with me today. This has been, you know, we're at the six month mark, and I think that it's really important to keep these efforts and also this war fresh in people's minds, because it is still happening and it's very real to the people who are experiencing it.
So real, it's unbelievable. And there's a huge need. So if you can, please continue. It means the world to the people of Ukraine.
Thank you.
You've been listening to CICK News. If you have any hot tips or news stories you think we should cover, contact us at CICKnews@smithersradio.com or follow us on Facebook at CICK News. CICK News is made possible by the Government of Canada and the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the only organization mandated to financially supporting campus and community radio stations across Canada. You can also catch our fresh shows each week at theskeena.com or subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you find your podcasts. Thanks to our producer Pam Hassan and all of our roving reporters, I'm Dan Messick. Thanks for listening.